Well, hello and welcome to another edition of Agree to Disagree, the podcast of the Salt Lake Tribune's editorial board, or two-fifths of it. I'm George Pyle, the editorial page editor.
I'm Michelle Quist, editorial writer.
And this week we're going to probably agree and disagree and find middle ground on a fairly complicated set of interrelated issues. If you've been standing at a track station or wandering around a shopping center recently, you've probably been approached by somebody who wants you to sign one of, what is it, five?
Yeah, six.
Six petitions,
yeah.
To get various questions on the ballot this November. And I didn't write a list, but there's Our Schools Now that would raise taxes for schools.
Right.
There's a medical marijuana initiative.
Right.
There's a expand Medicaid initiative.
Mm-hmm.
There's what they call the Better Boundaries, which is to change the way we draw congressional and legislative boundaries.
Neutral political boundaries.
What else?
And then there's two for caucus, one for caucuses and one against caucuses.
Oh, that's right. What used to be called the Count My Vote.
Right.
And then was called Senate Bill 54, and now I guess it's being called Count My Vote
again. Back to Count My Vote, right.
And then they have another name for the other one.
The other one is Keep My Vote?
Keep My Vote, I think. Yeah, nobody can be totally original with these things or people lose track.
I think part of their idea is to confuse voters.
Oh, yeah. Not so much around here, but yeah, I've seen in other states where there will be, you know, rival initiatives, and you get the voters to think that you're that one when you're really this one,
right.
And people are busy and they're not necessarily paying a lot of attention. A lot of people, if you approach them to sign a petition, there are people who won't sign anything under any circumstances.
Right.
There are people who are just nice,
sure,
and they'll just sign your petition just to get you to go away.
Right, right. Well, and truthfully, the Count My Vote group was taking signatures a few years ago.
Right.
And they did have some claims or some charges against them of, some of the hired signature gatherers were misleading in mm-hmm. what people were signing.
Right.
You know, there was the big problem about the school lunches and how kids who didn't have money, you know, could pay for school lunches at the time. And so the signature gatherer was at one of the movie theaters, and do you believe kids should have lunch? Sign here.
Yeah.
It wasn't about that.
No, there's democracy can be messy, and petitions, whether they're carried by volunteer true believers or whether they're carried by people who are paid to get the signatures and therefore perhaps have a financial incentive to get people to sign.
Right.
By hook or by crook, you know, you can have that problem. But anyway, it looks like, as far as we know, it looks like maybe most, if not all, of these issues will be on the ballot.
Yeah.
Come November.
At least three of them, I think.
Yeah. Well, I would say Our Schools Now is likely to be on the ballot.
The marijuana.
Medical marijuana is likely to be on the ballot.
I think the Keep My Vote, or Count My Vote.
The Count My Vote.
Yeah.
And I would think the Better Boundaries and the Medicaid would have a good chance, but it's hard to get enough signatures.
Well, and because you have to get signatures from 26 of 29 counties. You can't just get all the signatures from Salt Lake.
Right. Yeah. And I can kind of understand that. I mean, if you have a statewide election and you get all the votes from Salt Lake County, you win. But they want to make sure that this process respects all parts of the state.
Well, it's really an issue that everyone in the state wants to vote on,
right.
You know, as opposed to just the people in Salt Lake.
Right. And it's also a way of saying, you know, how serious are you? I mean, are you willing to
go across
the whole state and get enough signatures? We don't want, even if you like a little bit of pure democracy now and then, you might say, but there's a limit.
Right.
We don't want somebody showing up with $100 and saying, here, I want this on the statewide ballot, because
right.
then it just gets to be a bedsheet and people don't know what they're voting on. And so some bar.
Yeah, honestly, if you're going to legislate by citizen initiative or, you know, ballot initiative, I think that it's a worse way of legislating. There's no accountability to a legislator. You know, you can't go and vote somebody out if, you know, this initiative passes and it the way it's implemented isn't working right, or, you know, something needs to be tweaked. It's really hard to do that when you make law by an initiative as opposed to by the legislature, right, who we elect to do it.
Right.
You know, instead of, I would prefer we elect different representatives if people want to see different things get legislated.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting about what we're facing right now, though, is that, I mean, these are coming from, I think, the belief that the legislature that we've had for the past dozen or so years has had multiple opportunities to do these things. Mm-hmm. Has been asked to raise more money for schools, has been asked to expand Medicaid, has been asked to change the way they draw congressional and legislative districts, and have basically refused to do so. And so that's the point. That's why you have an initiative option in
right.
the Constitution, in the law. It's
right.
Okay. We've asked our legislators. We've voted for and against legislators. We're still not seeing what we think we ought to see. So we have this other route
right.
to get things done.
Right.
And these are not initiatives that are being mounted by rebels, by extreme left or extreme right people. Our schools now is Gail Miller and the president of Zions Bank and the president or the former president of what used to be called Questar Gas. So this is the very embodiment of the Utah establishment
yeah.
that's pushing this.
Yeah, and it the interesting or ironic thing about our schools now is that, yes, these affluent and influential members of our society want these provisions. You know, they want the tax higher for mm-hmm. education. They want more funding. They want more,
right.
you know, more. And most people want more funding in education. They just can't agree on how to pay for it. The problem that has come is that people don't want a tax raise. Mm-hmm. And so you've got this Our Schools Now that says, oh, no, I think we do want a tax raise. But I don't think it'll pass. I mean, I think you have affluent people saying, yeah, it'll be fine because it's fine for them. But, you know, the lower income families or middle income families don't necessarily agree. I think that's what we'll find out when voting happens in November.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think it will pass. But, yeah, you're asking people to vote for a tax increase, and that's never really popular. You're telling them that it's a tax increase for schools. Well, that makes it more popular. Mm-hmm. More people will be in favor of that. I mean, when it comes to, you know, assuming it gets on the ballot, and we think it will, I'm probably going to go in there and vote for it. I do have a little problem with the specific way they've chosen to raise taxes because, and this is a big bugaboo for me, they're regressive.
Right.
They're not putting in a progressive income tax.
Right.
They started with an income tax raise. Now they seem to have, I don't know if they felt they made a mistake or they thought politically that wasn't going to go anywhere. They've added a sales tax component to
mm-hmm.
it, which is even more regressive.
Right, right.
So I don't know if they think that if they, well, there's two possibilities. One is these are the wealthiest people in the state pushing it,
mm-hmm.
and so they're pushing a regressive tax that won't hit them
right.
personally
right.
as much as, say, a second or a third tax bracket
right.
on our income taxes, which we don't have in Utah. We have basically a flat income tax,
yeah.
and they're raising the rate on everybody, but then it's regressive in that it hits the lower income people harder than it hits the higher income people.
Mm-hmm.
And you could say, okay, you wealthy people out there, if you really think it's important that we have more money for schools, which a lot of people agree with, why don't you put in a tax surcharge or another bracket
yeah.
or something that hits you rich people
yeah.
and put your money where your mouth is
right.
instead of basically making us pay for it?
Well, and that's the thing, is that they're coming up against the same challenge that the legislature faces every year when it tries to fund education. And to its credit, they have done a lot this year to put extra monies into education. The interesting thing that we want to talk about with the initiatives this year is that the legislature has already introduced at least two proposals that counter the initiative, the ballot initiatives, if they pass.
Right.
So, for instance, if our schools now passes and increases the rate, there's a proposal in the legislature now that it would, that the legislature would decrease taxes in a comparable amount so that it's still flat.
Right.
And then there's also one with the marijuana.
Yes, proposals. There's a bill that would create this state-owned, state-provided source of some kind of cannabis extract or something, and it would only be available to people who were certified terminally ill.
Right.
Within like 6 months of the end of your life.
Right.
And obviously you're in a great deal of discomfort, and so we would give you a little bit of this to ease the pain.
Right.
Whereas the advocates of medical marijuana see that as kind of an insult, and the idea is that it's not just to ease your death, it's to increase the quality of what may still be a long life.
Right, right, right. And the interesting thing about the, you know, the marijuana issue is if the legislature passes the bill that they've introduced, they can go out and say, we have legalized medical marijuana.
Right.
We've done it. And that could really hurt any kind of a campaign against the ballot initiative.
Yeah, I think, it would be up to the proponents of the ballot initiative to say, to counter that.
To show the difference.
In whatever advertising they have and whatever campaigning they had, and as they're still passing the petitions, I think they are,
right.
To say, no, they're not, really.
Right.
I mean, if you have a child with epilepsy, if you have some kind of intractable pain, and it's not going to kill you, but you're going to have to live with it for years and years and years,
yeah.
And you'd rather not get addicted to opioids,
right.
If you have any of those circumstances, this won't help you. This
yeah.
is just for the terminally ill.
Yeah.
And it's hard to vote against something that helps the terminally ill. Of course,
right.
We want to be, you know, provide relief to the terminally ill.
Right.
But we want to, the idea is that we provide longer relief to more people, including children in many cases.
Yeah.
So I think it would, it's not totally dishonest because they're saying in the bill and they're saying in the hearings, this is for the terminally ill.
Right.
And it's, and they're saying it's kind of a way to kind of start.
Yeah.
So they're not lying about it, but
right.
at the same time, I think they're being a little disingenuous and saying, oh, all you people out there who think medical marijuana is a good idea, you don't have to sign this petition now because
right, right.
we've taken care of it. Because they haven't.
So the legislature has received a bad rap for these bills, you know, for mm-hmm. these efforts to counter the ballot initiatives before they're even passed, you
right.
know. And the legislature has had this history of reversing ballot initiatives
no.
after they pass, you know, by a vote of a different other, you know, of implementing a different policy. I don't think that they deserve as bad a rap as they're getting. I think mm-hmm. they are trying to tell Utahns, you've elected us to make mm-hmm. policy,
right.
to, you know, to govern and to study the issues and research mm-hmm. the issues. And this is what we do. And we're trying to do it the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we understand that there are issues that mm-hmm. Might be more important than you think that we're giving, you know, them credit for. But we still think that we're the ones who should make the law.
Right.
You know, they just have this bias against ballot initiatives in general, and I don't think that's necessarily a bad policy.
Well, I mean, it is their responsibility to make the laws,
mm-hmm.
and if they're not making the laws we want, one of the things they can do, I mean, they can do two things. They can make the laws we want, or they can do a better job of explaining to us why the laws they want are really a better idea.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm not generally a big fan of legislation by initiative. As you say, there's not a lot of responsibility. There's not a lot of oversight. Legislation, by its nature,
it's hard to fix.
It's hard to fix if they do something wrong.
Yeah.
The idea of legislation in a even normal world, not
right.
even an ideal world,
right.
is that there's some give and take, and there's some learning along the way, and
right.
there's testimony, and there's debate, and there are friendly amendments, and there are things as you go along. Somebody starts a bill just to get the conversation started. They
right.
may not even really be all that crazy with everything they've written, but you need a bill to be introduced, you
right.
need it to be debated, marked up, amended, sent from one house to the other. That's the process. With an initiative, you can't do that. Although, I mean, our schools now, they had one version, they changed to another version they have hearings. They're required by law to have hearings around the state, and they can change it again if they want to.
Yeah.
But once it gets to the ballot, that's it, yay or nay.
Right.
That's not an ideal way to make the law. The legislature, after the fact, even if they don't meddle with it before, can come back and change the law because the legislature retains the power to make the law.
Right.
And I know, you know, in California they have initiative after initiative after initiative to the point where if here's two initiatives and if you vote yes on both of them, they contradict each other and then they just, the state doesn't know what to do. So it's very possible to overdo this. I am kind of bothered, though, by what they're doing, especially when they're, instead of saying, okay, here's my counteroffer. Mm-hmm. You guys want to raise more money for schools. I understand you want to raise more money for schools. The particular way you're doing it, well, no, wait, I've got a better idea. Let's do it this way.
Yeah.
And then you could say to the people who might sign the petition who are still on the fence about whether they want to sign the petition or if it gets to the ballot, are still studying the issue and saying, okay, do I like the option that's on the ballot or do I like the option that the legislature already passed because their taxation is in a different way. It's more progressive. It raises more money. It raises less money.
Right.
It is or isn't enough oversight. It is or isn't enough transparent. So I'll choose one of the two.
Yeah.
But when the legislature basically says no out of the box, which they're doing, the one bill would do with our schools now, or they
the
taxes, or they throw up a really, in my view, a phony medical marijuana bill and try and hope that people don't notice what they've done and what they haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's disingenuous. It's legal, it's constitutional, unquestionably, but it to me is just kind of dirty.
You know, they have had experience, though, trying to cooperate with outside groups and getting egg in their face.
Yeah.
You know, the Count My Vote initiative people originally wanted to do this 2 years ago, and instead they, you know, coordinated with the legislature to pass SB 54.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 years later, the legislature sees them going to the ballot again with what they, you know, with, in fact, what the basically what the legislature passed, but a little tweak on how many signatures and on a date here and there, you know. So I understand that the legislature doesn't have faith in cooperating with groups like that.
Yeah. But the groups and many individuals don't have any faith in the legislature either. I think this is helpful to remind the legislature, if they're capable of being reminded, that they're not doing what the people want. And the people of Utah are pretty conservative, pretty center-right. You know, they like their families, they like their schools, they like not high taxes, they like not real activist government. But they like their public schools, and they're coming around more and more, I think, to the idea that people are sick and marijuana could benefit them, and opioids have all kinds of problems with them, so we don't want to go down that road, even though that's legal and this isn't. Sometimes you just have to listen to the people.
Yeah, and I think on medical marijuana that's a valid point, but I don't think we can say that about the other issues until they actually pass. I don't think that just because an initiative is on the ballot means that voters don't think that the legislature is listening. I think if voters vote for it, then they do.
Well, that's I mean, it's difficult to get an initiative on the ballot, so that's sort of an indication as to whether
the
people
money
are
helps
in favor
lately.
Of this. Not. No, there's money involved, and there's always money involved in politics.
Right.
I mean, there was money in caucuses. There will be money in primaries.
There's
always money. And I think you're right in that, you know, if our schools now doesn't pass, then, okay, the people weren't that enthusiastic about it. If Better Boundaries doesn't pass, then the people didn't care that much. They're willing to
They think the legislature is doing a good job.
Leave it to the legislature. That's their job. That's what they're supposed to do.
Right.
But, I mean, it happened, I forget what year it was, when the kind of the other way, when the legislature passed the school voucher program.
Yes.
And they came back and ran an initiative or a referendum or The legal terms are different when you're making a new idea than when you're trying to repeal an old idea.
Uh-huh.
But whatever it is, you call it, they did it. They put it on the ballot, and the people said, no, we don't want school vouchers we want. We like our public schools. We don't want any money taken away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And was a huge victory for the anti-voucher people at the polls,
yeah,
where it counts the most. And, of course, they've been on watch ever since.
They're still smarting from it.
They still don't like the idea that they were overridden. Mm-hmm. And nobody likes to be overridden. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're at work and you think you know your job and you do a good job, and even somebody who is your boss and you know they're your boss comes along and undoes what you did, you know, that's got to smart a little bit.
So,
I think it does matter if an initiative gets on the ballot, that's an indication that a lot of people care.
Mm-hmm.
If it passes, especially like, you know, this will be, this isn't a presidential election year, but it's a congressional election year, I think, with all the...
Senatorial.
With the Senate race being up, with, even though there's no president on the ballot, the president makes all the congressional races maybe a little bit more interesting than they would otherwise be.
Right.
And so you'll have a lot of interest. So if they pass, and especially if there's a big voter turnout, it'll probably be driven by the congressional races, mm-hmm, and the Senate race.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's a large voter turnout and any or all of the referendums pass, I think the legislature would be well advised to let those things sit, at least for a while. If they later find out that, say, the technical aspects of the medical marijuana bill create problems, then the legislature should come back and tweak it. But they're just, in my mind, they're overly active. They're overly interested in saying, no, people, you're stupid. You don't get it.
That's what it looks like they're doing.
Yeah.
But I think their intentions are better.
Yeah. Well, I think they are on... I don't know that they are. I mean, I think with the R schools now, where they're just saying, whatever you vote, we're undoing it. We're not even going to wait for it.
That's bad optics. That's bad optics.
And I think with the medical marijuana, I think there's a... I think the legislature is a few people, and this happens in any legislature with any issue, there are a few people who are really interested in a subject one way or the other.
Right.
And the other members of the legislature who are interested in other things, aren't experts, will often defer or will follow, you know, this representative has studied it and he really thinks medical marijuana is a bad idea. This legislator has studied it. He really thinks medical marijuana is a good idea.
Right.
Other members will, not blindly, but will sort of follow their lead. I mean, that's how it works.
Yeah.
But again, then the bad way of looking at that is that these huge decisions are made by a very few people who the rest of us can't vote for or against and don't even know who they are.
Right, right. Well, we'll see how it turns out, I guess, in November. We'll have some indications in March of how far the legislature had gone to affect those.
Right, and we'll see. And I would think they should be issues in legislative races.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the House is, I forget. But, I mean, there's a lot of legislative races. To the degree that those legislative races are at all competitive, to the degree that whether it's a primary or a general, you would hope that people will be asking their legislators, their candidates.
Right. What did you do on this issue?
What did you do on this issue? What will you do on this issue?
Yeah.
If this initiative passes, will you respect the will of the voters, or do you have an improvement?
Right.
Or,
right.
I mean, you know, they will meet voters who don't like the initiatives.
Right.
And the voters will say, hey, you know, come on, stand up, do your job.
Right, right.
And so they will meet all of that.
Everyone needs to look for their guy. I just hope that, here's my two cents for hoping that there's no more sexual harassment during the session. In Utah.
Well, I don't know. We're dealing with entitled human beings here, and I don't know. But
we can do it. I know we can.
They're on notice.
They are on notice.
And
And
Greg Hughes did take a committee chairmanship, and that's big.
I thought that was great.
That was big, and you know, Greg Hughes, you never know where he's going to turn next. One day, he seems like he's the worst kind of politician, wheeling and dealing. The next day, he lowers the boom on somebody who very much needed to have
reasons.
The boom lowered on
him. Right, right.
And,
there's no excuse to be flirting with interns or, you know, talking to them any other way that's a professional, do you think on this bill kind of it.
No, and I'm just, I mean, I'm an old bald guy, and I've been, I'm shocked.
I know.
And I know it sounds like, oh, I'm a guy, and I'm just supposed to say these things.
No.
Maybe they just wait till I'm not in the room, but I swear
they're doing it.
I know, I know guys, and I know some of them are just awful, and they think they're entitled, and especially if you have any kind of power.
Or they think it's funny.
Or they think it's funny.
They're uncomfortable,
or they think
and they make a joke.
They actually think maybe they're complimenting somebody.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they think that, but I guess that's...
Just stop.
The thought process in some way is that if you make some, not just, I mean, not way beyond flirting, but real sexually charged, inappropriate remark to a woman, especially a woman who's not your equal.
Right.
I mean, who's a staffer,
so
who's
everyone
an intern.
In Utah.
Well, just about everybody. Well, I mean, that was the thing.
That was tongue-in-cheek.
I think that was kind of the thing with like, Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he'd been fooling around with Barbara Streisand, we all would have said,
right,
great,
uh-huh,
go for it. Ha-ha.
Yeah,
ha.
Like
she's
JFK and Marilyn Monroe.
Right. They're equals. Neither of them was forced. Yeah. But neither of them was forced into it. Neither
right
of them was a... It was not a strong person, weak person...
Uneven power structure.
...relationship. With Bill Clinton and the intern, it was a... Even though he didn't abuse his... government power, he abused
and
his
even though she
star power
appeared to want to.
Oh yeah, now she still says she wanted to. Part of the reason, part of the problem was that the question is, it was that evidence in other things that he was supposedly involved in where it was not consensual.
Right.
And the fact that it was consensual in that case really kind of didn't really help either side of that question.
Right.
So we got off on that whole thing, but yeah,
just
guys, up
fingers.
The legislature, you're hearing
no more
from, you're
just
hearing
stop.
You're hearing from a woman and a man. Cut it out.
There's a month left. You can do it.
We got more important things to worry about, and you know, legislate already.
Yeah.
So
this week I'm writing about domestic violence and the Mormon Church.
And I think I'm going to be writing about this trend toward putting a work requirement on Medicaid. To me, that makes as much sense as when you call the police and they ask you if you have a job before they roll a squad car. Either you're entitled to public services or you're not. But we'll wrap it up with that. Agree to disagree. Check us out, sltrib.com/opinion. Our work, our editorials, Holly Richardson and Paul Raleigh, they're all on there and they're worth a look.